Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Of course, the whole idea about how we deal with trauma has been a discussion that's gone on for, of course, the good part of the 18 or 19 months, because we all deal with trauma in very, very different ways. And we deal with trauma in different ways at different times. There's no, of course, one way. There isn't one particular way that we should be dealing with trauma. One of those methods is humor. And we wanted to chat this morning to Professor Bill Kohlbrenner. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I just do want to warn you, you may hear what sounds like sirens, but it's just the sound of vacuum cleaners and Biodegon, which combined.
Right.
I don't know. In my neighborhood, I think many, many people already think it's Passover because their houses are already kosher.
Right. Yes, we had this conversation. Mukundi, grab your mic, because we had this conversation with Mukundi, who happens not to be Jewish, but who also happens to be more Jewish than most of us. And his observations around this time of year is quite interesting. Mukund, share some of your thoughts.
So I said, excuse me, I said, watch out for all the hotspots, all the shopping centers, and the one street. Here in Gleneagles, we have the Summerway Street. Watch out for that, and especially your toes, because there'll be speeding scooters with no signs.
So in other words, from Kosher World to Moishe's, different hotspots, Sandringham Strip, another one where everybody's shopping, but it's the roads between, says, that are the most dangerous, because they're going to be the Havals, which is the car of choice in this community for big families, rushing around from place to place. It's a dangerous place to be over the next week.
I see. So getting back to humor, Ronit and I are editing this new magazine, Balagan. Our first issue was Scarred. And, we decided to touch on humor.
Mm-hmm.
And our question really was, is it really the right time? And the next question is, has it ever been the right time or not the right time? I mean, I think back to Rabbi Akiva looking at the ruins of the temple and laughing. And there's something in that story. So we were putting together the issue and we were conceptualizing it. I wrote a piece, for example, on Shakespeare's Fool.
Mm.
But Ranit said, we need something funny. So we asked you. and Howard, I've just been reading all your stuff. And, you talk about keffiyeh wearing ANC members, dogs with sunscreen.
Mm.
So you give various advice about how not to be identified as Israeli when you're traveling. One of our favorites was if you start apologizing, people will for sure not know that you're not Israeli.
Well, exactly. As a South African, I think we kind of understood for many years what it's like to not be proud of your identity. Sadly, we're back there again. When we travel to Israel, we don't want to say we're from South Africa because South African government not exactly a supporter of the country. But we've always done this. Humor's always been, there was a terribly, it's a bit of a crude joke, but I'm going to say it anyway. And I don't tell jokes. I'm not good at telling jokes. But one of the first that I heard was, the story in a shtetl, and this pogrom was on its way, and this big Russian guy walked in, and there was an old lady with her teenage granddaughter there, and it was very clear that he pointed at the teenager, and he was about to unfortunately rape or do something really terrible. And the grandmother pushed the teenager aside, and she said, a pogrom is a pogrom, and obviously wanted her way in the front. But it was it's the most terrible, terrible story. But it's always stuck with me. A pogrom is a pogrom. But even coming out of the worst of circumstances, Jews have always been able to find a little bit of humor, a bitterer gelecht, laughing through the tears concept.
I think when, we've seen some of the hostages emerge from Gehenna, emerge from Gaza, from hell, And I remember that one father commented about his son. He still has his dark sense of humor. I imagine the sense of humor got darker and darker. But I think it is one of the ways we cope. It shows our resilience. I think also, and Howard, I think this is why we come back to it, because it's also a form of knowledge. Because the humorist, and this is true of the fool in Shakespeare, always shows the other side, is always showing the doubleness to reality. And you know, we've talked about this a lot, that in the world in which we live, there are people who are shouting out their certainties. And humor, and the fool especially in Shakespeare's comedies and As You Like It, the fool touchstone comes to undo the certainties of the extremes. And I think that's the relief that humor provides. It allows us to occupy a place where we're not suffocating from certainty. And especially now, I think, when, you know, I saw on your site, have the courage to have a voice. And in order to have the courage to have a voice, you need a community. And, you know, we're fighting for that. And in order for us to have that community, we need the fool. I mean, in Shakespeare's plays, the comedies, we're propelled towards the happy ending, marriage, through love, in this case, through Rosalind, Shakespeare's most beautiful character, really, her. She's the more functional cousin of Hamlet. But she needs the fool. She needs humor. Because without humor, you end up just with monolithic choices. So I think the humorist in you is also what allows us to reach out to people in ways where they're less defensive.
Well, I think that's what humor does as well, is which I was going to say right now, is it allows us to drop those barriers a bit. Because the problem with it is, and certainly I've experienced this many, many, many times, where I'll write something humorous and somebody will come up to me and say, you know, are you so privileged that you think that this is the only, you know, that you can laugh at this type of thing? And it's very hard to respond to a non-humorous person in about humor, because it's humor functions on such a nuanced level, but as you say, it's non-humor functions monolithically, and it's very, very hard to explain. People are very often offended by humor because one person's line is another. How do we deal with that?
I mean, Howard, there's always. There are institutional contexts where some things are not funny. We asked a bunch of comedians for our new issue. Judy Gold, who's an Emmy Award winner, Lou Ayres, and some other comedians. Are there things that are not funny anymore? And that's kind of your question. And we're always negotiating those extremes. And as you said, it's delicate. Humorists are touching nerves. But, you know, when we share a laugh together, that's that visceral connection.
That's right.
You can't really describe it.
It is so, so interesting. When does this magazine come out for any of our listeners?
We're dropping Balagan's second issue, Humor, right after Passover.
That will be awesome. It is 8:30. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom. Thank you, as always. That was Professor Bill Kohlbrenner talking about humor at a time that is very, very difficult. Some of us do rely on humor. Maybe it's denial. That's maybe what some of the psychologists would say. Maybe it is simply a coping mechanism. But it certainly is an important element. What is your reaction to that, and what is your approach? Please share that with me. 061-895-1019. Good morning.